I stood at the edge of Lost Lake and raised a hand to my forehead to shield my eyes from the bright sun. Accustomed to the gloomy, overcast skies of March and April, I'd left my sunglasses at home. But this, the second Saturday in May, was one of those warm spring days when the temperature edged pasty 60 degrees and the sky was blue enough to make the gray winter begin to fade from memory. My head hurt from a long night of broken sleep with my 6-month-old teething daughter and one too many glasses of Pinot Noir over dinner with my fiancé, Brody Sutherland. I closed my eyes against the glare and instead let the language of the lake wash over me. The crack of the melting ice that lined the water's edge. The young aspen leaves whispering to one another over the sound of the gentle breeze. The splash of water as an eagle dipped down and plucked an unsuspecting fish from the middle of the lake. The bird's movements as deliberate as a stealth bomber. It should have felt peaceful, but there was a roughness to the pastoral scene, like a pencil sketch that has been handled by greasy fingers, the edges smudged. By June, the area would be flush with hikers and fishermen. Both groups would come hungry. The hikers for the chance to see the annual wildflower bloom of lapis and indigo lupines sprawling up the mountains on the far side of the lake. And the fishermen for the plump trout and bass. But this early in the season? The few people hardy enough to try to reach the lake would trek 2 miles uphill, traversing melting snow and muddy, soggy soil. There was the ever-present threat of bears, too, just waking from their long winter slumber. Bears that were hungry. Opening my eyes, I turned from the lake and stared back at the small group huddled around the unlit fire pit. Why had they come here? To Lost Lake? There were dozens of camping spots scattered throughout the lower valley, any one of them more accessible than this place. The water was frigid, the wildflowers still in hibernation. It was pleasant now, nearly midday, but without the sun, temperatures would plummet. The ground would have made a cold bed last night. Yet the group had chosen to come here, and now one of them was missing. Sorry, Chesney. Lost at Lost Lake. The ice cracked again. It made an eerie, otherworldly sound, and I left the lake's edge and trudged back to the group, careful to avoid the muddy collage of footprints that seemed to lead both somewhere and nowhere. They stared at me, the 2 men and 1 woman. The woman spoke first.
I'm very worried that something has happened to her.
Her name was Allison Chang, but she preferred to be called Allie. She told me she was Sari's best friend. Has Sari ever done anything like this before? Gone off without leaving word?
No, never. Sari's very responsible, Allie said. She knows we would worry.
Max Stevens added, I agree with Allie. I have a bad feeling about this, Detective Monroe.
Please call me Gemma.
Mac was Sari's boyfriend. A big bear of a man with messy red hair. He was the only one of the group that I had seen before. He was a nurse at the hospital in town and had given my daughter, Grace, her first set of shots. He didn't remember me, though. Or if he did, he didn't say anything.
I think someone has taken her,
Mac continued.
This place is remote as hell. Anyone could have snuck up on us and kidnapped her.
Kidnappings are rare, especially in a place like this, with you 3 right here. I gestured back to the lake. I hate to ask the obvious, but is there any chance she went for a swim? Mac and Allie shook their heads vigorously.
Sari nearly drowned as a child in a boating accident. She hates the water. She only agreed to come because Mac bullied her into it,
Allie said. With a troubled glance toward Mac. He met Allie's glare with one of his own.
That's not true, Allie, and you know it.